And so I think it takes a lot of courage to be able to tell your story in front of a bunch of people. I just need to say that. I got the chance to, me and my roomies, picked up the Alateen speaker, Brittany, and her two sponsors, and the Al-Anon speaker, AJ, from the airport. And I got a chance to get to know Brittany, and we instantly clicked. Like, I feel like I know everything about her, and we're just really great friends. And I also got a chance to hear her first time that she spoke on her tape, and that was 2 years ago in 2000. So I know that she's grown a lot, and I'm really excited to hear her story. So with that, I bring you Brittany.
Hi, I'm Brittany, and I'm a grateful member of Alateen. Let's see. I'm one of these perfect kids, right? When I was born and everything, and before I was born, my dad was an alcoholic and my mom was a drug addict, and I live with my mom the first 6 years of my life, and during that time, I see her come in and out of my life all the time. She'd leave me with strangers, and she'd have them watch me while she went out and partied, or she'd party in her room and have us stay out with people we didn't even know. My dad, during the time, would always call my mom and put her down because of what she was doing, and my dad would always just tell her, you know, I'm going to take the kids away. And he was drinking at the time, and I never knew it. I was like six, so I didn't care. And one night, my mom had got busted for drugs or something, and I had a choice who I wanted to go with, and it was either the babysitter or my dad. So I went with my dad, and we went to court, and it all got settled. So I was living with my dad now. My brother was four, and I was six, and I seen my dad drink, and I didn't think nothing was wrong, you know. When I was like eight, I came home, and he was at my kitchen table with one of his buddies rolling a joint, you know. You know, Brittany, I think you better go in your room. And I was like, okay. And, you know, I never thought my dad's drinking was a problem. And he did drugs too, but he wasn't addicted. I mean, he wasn't like it was with alcohol. He would come home and he would be real drunk, and I'd be like, hey Dad, where you been? And he'd be like, out with Old Yeller and James Bond. And I would believe him. And my stepmom would always be real pissed off when he came home because, I mean, and I thought it was kind of funny because he'd come in making jokes about her and stuff, and me and my stepmom, we weren't close or anything, so it was pretty funny to me. And he would come in, and I was getting older, and I could see that his drinking was a problem. I came home one day, and he wasn't home, and I asked my stepmom, where's he at? He said, well, where do you think, you know, and where's he at every day? So he came home drunk that night, and he was real mad at my stepmom. I don't even know why. It just seemed like every time he'd come home, he'd be mad. And my dad wasn't a real mean drunk, but if you said something, you know, to piss him off, he'd get real mad, and it'd be real easy. But other than that, he was real funny when he was drunk. And he came home, and he told me to go to my room. And at this time, I'm seeing that the drinking's a problem, and I tell him, you know, okay. And I was scared of my dad. I didn't want to, you know, make him mad or anything, so I always do what he told me to do. And so I went to my room, and all I hear is my stepmom screaming, and I'm like, what's going on? And my brother, he's like eight or nine, and I go in there, and my dad has a knife to her throat, and he hasn't, like, sliced or anything. He's just cut the side of it, and she was fighting him, and it cut her in her face. And I was screaming for him to stop, and he didn't. He was screaming at me, telling me, go away, you know. And that day, you know, that night, I knew that my dad's drinking was a big problem. And During this time, my mom is in and out of my life when she can decide to stop doing drugs for about, 3 hours or something a day. She'll come over and see us. And so I'm telling my dad, Dad, your drinking's a problem, and I think you need to stop. And he's like, okay, I will. And next day he'd be out drunk. And, I mean, there were some fun times when my dad was drunk because, I got away with a lot of stuff. And I didn't, if I didn't want to do something, okay, you ain't got to, I didn't have to do it. But I remember when I'd be home and my dad would come home drunk and I would already took my bath and I was getting ready to go to school the next day and he would come home drunk and he would smell like beer, like it was like bad, and he would give me a hug and the next day I would smell it on my clothes and I would go to school and I hated it because, I mean, I knew he had a problem and I thought I could do something about it. He would come to my school activities all drunk and stuff, and my friends were like, hey, your dad's cool, And I'm like, yeah, right, And, let's see. I think when I was 12, he would promise me he would be at my birthday, and he'd be out drunk that night, and he would never come to my birthday parties or anything. And he did that for 2 years. And, My brother thought it was fun because my brother thought my dad was cool, and he didn't have a problem with my dad's drinking. My stepmom was always pissed off all the time, always had something to gripe about, and we didn't get along too good. Well, what I'm about to share with you, I always share because this is what changed all of our lives forever. And my dad had. He always had this habit of coming home drunk and accusing my stepmom of stuff she hadn't, didn't do. And he came home and she was sitting in the front room and her son and his wife was there and their kids, their two kids, and he was drunk and he popped some Valiums in front of us and he said for her to get out in the garage now because he had something he needed to talk to her about. And she went, and he was yelling at her, and I went too because I knew something was going to happen. So if I went out there and I sat out there, my dad wasn't going to do anything in front of me. So I went out there, and my dad was screaming at me, telling me to get in the house, and I said no. So he picked up the chair and threw it at the wall. So I figured I better go in. And so I went in, and I could hear them outside screaming at each other. And my dad was, threatening her, and her son was trying to take up for her, but my dad's a pretty tough guy and was, I don't know, but he was yelling at her and screaming, and my brother and my nieces were in the back room, and I was crying, and, and they were like, what's the matter? And I was like, oh, nothing. I just, ran into the wall. And my dad came in the house, and I knew as soon as he came in the house, he was going to get a gun. And he came in the house and he got a gun out of his closet, and I told him, what are you doing? He said, don't worry about it. You're too young to understand. And at that time, I knew something bad was about to happen. And he went outside, and I told the kids to stay in the room, and I was almost 13 at this time, and I told him to stay in the room because I had to go outside and talk to Dad, and I wanted to talk to him alone. That was my excuse. And I went and peeked out the garage door, and I could see my dad pointing the gun at my stepmom. And he pulled the trigger, and the gun did not go off. And he was messing with it, trying to figure why didn't it go off. And he was yelling at her, I'm just ready to get rid of you, And she's all his problems. So he points the gun at her son and tries to, shoot it, and it won't go off. And his wife comes in the house, and she calls the police. Well, my dad knew she was going to call the police, so he rips every phone cord out of the wall he can find. But by the time he did that, all the police were called, and they came, and they told us to get out of the house. My sister-in-law told me to get out of the house. And the police didn't know that there was kids in the house, so we walk out, and there's guns you know, they're all pointing at us, and they, you know, we're getting to safety where they can get my dad out. And I didn't know this, but my dad had taken out, you know, the bullets and everything out of the gun, so he, I mean, maybe the cops would believe him that he really wasn't going to shoot her or anything, but he came outside and he had the gun to his head. And I immediately, you know, was screaming at, you know, don't do it. And the cops were like, you know, hold me back. And they took my dad. My dad finally put the gun down and they took him to a halfway house, like a crisis center or something. And he would tell my stepmom, wait till I get out. It's going to be hell. I'm going to hurt you when I get out of here. If you don't get me out, it's going to be worse for yourself when you get home. And she, you know, she was scared. I mean, my stepmom always took the beatings. It was never me or my brother. My dad never put his hands on me or my brother. It was always her, and she was scared to death. And they wouldn't let us take him out yet because he hadn't been there long enough. And so we're at the house, and he's calling off the wall. If you don't get down here and come see me, then I'm going to be real pissed when I get home. So she goes down there, and she sees him, and we stay at the house. And he continues to, you know, tell her what a bad person she is. How could she let this happen to him and let him go to jail for her? And he had called and called and called after she got home. And he wasn't, you know, in handcuffs there. He was able to walk around and do what he wanted. It was just like maybe 3 miles away from our house. And so he was able to do what he wanted. And if he wanted to escape, he could. And that night, I was telling my stepmom, we need to get out of the house. We gotta leave because we can't stay here. And she said, no, Brittany, your dad, you know, we can't. We'll be okay. And my grandma lived across the street, and she thought she could hold my dad back from, you know, doing whatever he wanted to do to my stepmom. And so I finally just say, okay, I guess we'll stay. And that night, around 11, we get a phone call saying that he's escaped, you know, the crisis center. And I'm like, really freaking out now. I'm like, we need to go. We got to leave. And my stepmom insists on staying. My brother's already in bed, and so we wait and we sit there, and I wake my brother up because I know we're going to have to run as soon as he comes. And we're sitting in the front room waiting to hear a door get kicked in. And about 10 minutes later, we hear a door getting kicked in the back door. And we take the phone, the cordless phone, and we run. And my stepmom was behind us, and we got out, and we went out a different door. And she didn't get away as fast as me and my brother did. I ran straight to the neighbor's house and was beating on the door. You know, it felt like it was like hours before they answered, and it was like 2 seconds or something. And I was screaming, you know, and then we called the police. And it wasn't until 3 years after my dad got sober that he finally learned that I was the one that had to call the police on him. And I got back down there, and all I see is my dad beating the crap out of my stepmom. He had steel-toe boots on, and he was kicking her in her face, and he had got the phone away from her and was beating her with it. The phone was, like, totally destroyed. And the cops come, and my dad was like, he was arrested, and I told him I loved him before he left, and he told me to go to bed. And my stepmom was... I could barely recognize her. She was so messed up. And before then, me and my stepmom, we never got along. And that night, I couldn't help but feel sorry for her. And by that time, her son had found out what happened and said if we don't leave, then he doesn't want anything to do with her. Because if she's going to let somebody beat on her like that, he doesn't want to be a part. So I take my dad to jail, and we leave. We go to a women's shelter, and we stay there. And my dad is, like, paging her and telling her, you know, if she don't get him out of here, if she don't bring him some cigarettes, if she don't do this, then she's going to be in trouble when he gets home. And I told my stepmom, you know, I would tell her, don't answer the phone. Don't call him back. And she would always call him back. And we stayed at this shelter for, like, 2 weeks. And they were asking me questions like, has your dad ever hit you? And, you know, I couldn't believe they could actually ask me that. And, well, we were kind of tired of staying here. And my dad finally got out. My grandma got him out. And we said we're not coming home because he figured we'd be there when we got home. And he walks into an empty house. And I think reality kicked into him because he knew we weren't coming home until he straightened up. And during this time, my stepmom, she's still recovering, and we talked to him on the phone, and he said, you know what, guess what, I'm going to an AA meeting. And I'm like, you're going because you want us to come home, and that's about it. You know, you ain't going because you want to help yourself. And he was telling us about how he's met these two cool guys there that are exactly like him, except they don't drink. And I couldn't figure that one out. They were exactly like him and they didn't drink. I was kind of confused. And so we're talking to him every day, and he's going to meetings just about every day, at least two a day, and he's doing real good. You know, I've been sober for 2 days now, and I'm like, wow, you know, it's a miracle, you know. And he wants us to come home. He's begging us to come home, and we're so sick of the shelter. We want to go home, but we're so scared. We don't know if we can. So about 3 weeks, we've been at the shelter, and school's getting ready to start, and I was in the shelter on my birthday, and I just wanted to go home so bad. So my stepmom asked me, my brother, and my brother was ready to go home the next day after we got there. So he was really ready. So she asked me and my brother, it was our decision, and we wanted to go home. Well, we walked, we go home, and the lady at the shelter said, if y'all leave now, then we're going to have DHS come and talk to your kids. And, you know, that really pissed me off when that lady told me that, because I was like, you know what, it's none of your business. And so we go home, and my dad's there waiting for us, and he's so excited to see us. And he gives me and my brother a hug, and he's like, you know, I love you guys, and I'm glad you're home. And then he sees what my stepmom looks like. He looks at her, and he sees that her glasses can't fit on her face because it's still swollen. And her rings, you know, cutting off her circulation in her hands because of where he beat her and kicked her so hard. And he says, I'm sorry. And I'm really sorry. And he realized, you know, look at what I did to her, because he never really seen her the next day. It wasn't bad enough to see what he really done to her except this time. And my stepmom started going to Al-Anon meetings, and I didn't really care. I mean, I don't know. We got back to our old ways after we got home. My dad was still going to AA. And I met his friends, and they were exactly like him. I'll tell you that. They were exactly like him. And I finally figured out, you know, how that could be. And she's going to Al-Anon, and I go to a couple of meetings with her, and I'm just like, these people are crazy. So she tells me that I should go to an Al-Anon meeting. I'm like, okay, well, I'll try it. You know, what can these people possibly know that I don't know? And so I go to my first Al-Anon meeting, and my brother goes with me. And I was 13, and I went, and it was the most boringest thing I ever had to sit through in my life. It was so boring. I didn't want to go back afterwards. I was like, I am not going back to that, because that was boring. How does that, and that don't help nobody. And me and my stepmom were not really close, but we were real close then, because, you know, she didn't have to take us with her whenever my dad did all that, but she did. And so I kept going. And I kept going, and my second was pretty boring. My third one, about my fifth one, I finally started listening. I seen these steps and traditions, and I went through them all that night, finished them. And I was like, okay, I'm ready to graduate from this stuff, because I got it all done. And I finished them that night, and my son was like, well, you got a lot to learn. And my dad's doing, like, so good. I'm so proud of my dad. And I'm going to Al-Anon, and then they tell me about this Al-Anon conference, and I'm like, I said, there's going to be any guys there, you know? and I was like, okay, I'll go. And so I went to the conference, and that was the most, like, it was so much fun. There were so many people. And I was really getting into the program before I went, so I was like, I couldn't believe all these people who were exactly like me. And so I went to the Alistine conference, and I had so much, it was so cool. It was like, oh my gosh, I can't even explain it. But my stepmom and me, we're not getting along. We go through our ups and downs, and it seems like when my dad goes down, then I go down with him. And my mom during this time, she's in jail about every other 6 months, and telling me, oh, Brittany, I'm going to change when I get out, and I'm going to do so much better, and I'm not going to do this, and I'm not going to do that. And I believe her, because I love my mom, and I mean, I was closer to her than I was my dad, and he was sober, and I believed her. And my dad would tell me, you know, your mom's got a problem, and, you know, and I'm like, you know what, Dad, it's not your problem to worry about Mom. And like, I know, but I'm just making sure, you know, because I would get so disappointed when she would screw up and lie to me. And so I'm going to these Alistine meetings, and I'm meeting all these people who are exactly like me, and it's, like, so much fun. And my dad's on his, like, 9th month, and he's doing good, and he hasn't been drinking at all, and he's going to meetings, and them guys that are exactly like him are coming over our house all the time, and we're all just hanging out and having fun together. And then a year comes, and I got to be there when my dad got his 1-year chip, and I couldn't tell him how proud I was of him, because I was so proud of him. I couldn't believe it, you know. I never thought that my dad could get sober. I never thought that he would ever want to stop drinking for himself. And I keep going to meetings, and me and my stepmom are, like, not getting along. We cannot stand each other. And we're getting in arguments about every other day, and my dad's getting stressed out and going to meetings because it's bothering him. He don't want to come home. He's going to stay at these meetings more than he wants to come home because we're arguing so much. And, you know, I start to blame her, saying, you know what, Dad's going to go out and get drunk if you don't stop arguing with me. And, you know, I'm like the 13-year-old here telling her what to do, and she's, you know, telling me, you know, we're arguing. And my dad goes 2 years sober, and I'm, like, really proud because I can't believe it. It's just, it was so hard for me to even believe that he could ever get sober. Well, he's going on his 3rd year, and one of my family members passes away, and he didn't even know him, but he's taking it real hard. And he said he's going to go to their funeral, and I'm like, you don't even know him. But I said, okay, I guess. Well, he stays gone all day. It was like maybe 6 months before his 3rd year chip, and stays gone all day. And he comes home drunk. He relapsed, and oh, I couldn't even look at him. I was so mad at him. And my program had just shot down because I was so mad. And I, you know, admitting that I couldn't do anything was hard enough, but having to admit that I couldn't do anything about that was real hard. And he came home and he said, I'm sorry. And I'm like, whatever, you know. I go to bed. I'm like, I don't even want to look at you. And the next day he tells me, I'm really sorry, Brittany, and I'm going to straighten up again. And I have hope. I'm like, okay, you can do it. You know, I believe in you. And he starts going to his AA meetings again, and his friends are coming over, like, all the time now to make sure he's not out drinking. And my brother at this time has stopped Alistine. I don't know, I guess he just decided that it wasn't for him. But I was kind of upset about it at first, but I can't change him. He does what he wants. So my dad's, like, going sober for 3 months, 4 months, and one of his AA buddies passes away. And I've never seen my dad so down in my life. And he goes out and gets drunk again. Well, at this time I'm like, okay, this is the second time. No, it shouldn't happen again. So he comes home, and the next day he's sober. He goes sober, clean, and I'm, you know, telling my sponsors it's really making me mad. And I'm going to Alateen, and I've been going to the Alateen conference every year. And he keeps, you know, got drunk that night, and he came home the next day, and he was sober for about 6 more months. And then another one of his AA friends dies, and these are the ones that got him into the program. And he's took it pretty hard, and he goes out and gets drunk again. I'm like, okay, third time is a charm, you know. He is not going to get drunk anymore. So he comes back, and he starts going to AA every other week, maybe. Once every other week. And I just think I can do so much because I was determined, you know, to get him to stay sober. And I just saw myself falling back to step one again. And he would go to meetings every other week, maybe, and he would stay at work longer every day, and he would come home and go straight to bed. It was like we really didn't have a good relationship at that time as a father and daughter. And my brother was like, Dad is cool when he's drunk, you know. I want him to stay drunk. And one day he came home. He was at a job site working, and I went up there, and he pulled up, and he wasn't there, and I was like, why is he not here, you know, he's the one who's supposed to be doing it. And he pulls up in his truck, and he rolls down his window and says, I can't do this anymore, Brittany. And I'm like, what are you talking about, what's the problem? He's like, I can't handle this anymore. And at this time, me and my stepmom are like fighting every other second. And I'm blaming her. You know, Dad's going out and getting drunk because you don't know how to stop arguing with me. Because we can't stop arguing with each other. You know he's going out and getting drunk because we can't stop arguing. And he tells me he can't do it anymore, and he pulls the beer out from behind the seat. And the only two words I told him was, bye, Dad. And I went home. And he calls the house telling my stepmom, bring me some money now. And my stepmom told him, no. And you don't tell my dad no, because that really makes him mad. And so I told her, I said, you better go take him some money. Let him do what he wants to do. And so she goes and takes him some money. And we were going to give it to him, and he wasn't even out there for us to give it to him because he knew I was going to go with her. And we gave it to one of his friends, and we told him, here's the money he called for. And I kept going to my Alateen meetings. You know, I told them what was going on, and they were telling me there's nothing I can do for my dad except just worry about myself. And so my dad stops going to AA completely. He decides that it's not for him right now, and he's going to try to get sober on his own. And it works for a little while. He goes a little while, and I'm going to my meetings, you know. I'm trying to do everything Al-Anon, Alateen that I can possibly do so I can just, you know, remain sane. And I'm going to all this Al-Anon and Alateen stuff, and we will tell him, and he'll be like, well, why do you got to go to that? And I'm like, well, Dad, you know, don't worry about my program. You just worry about yourself, right? And, you know, he'd get kind of like, well, okay. And so I was going to every Alateen, Al-Anon thing I could do. And me and my stepmom weren't getting along still. I don't know why we can't, but we just couldn't. And my mom, she's finally out of jail, and it's amazing. And she tells me she went to an NA meeting, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, are you serious? And at this time, I am like, I've kind of drifted away from her because she's disappointed me so much, and I'm really close to my dad. And she tells me she goes to an NA meeting. And I'm like, all right, I am about to set myself up again, because look at Dad. He went out. I mean, he stayed for almost 3 years, but then he screwed up. So I said, oh, okay, well, that's cool. And I wasn't really hopeful because just the way she sounded whenever she was, you know, talking about it. She went to maybe 3 in a whole month and then stopped. And after about 3 months out of jail, she went right back in. And she was telling me, hey, Brittany, you want to come live with me, don't you? And my dad, you know, he's sober, but he's not in AA, and we're not getting along. And I'm like, you know, maybe I should, because I'm old enough to choose who I want to live with. But then I looked at my mom, and I told her, I said, but what can you give me? What can you help me with? You know, she can't even keep a job, or, you know, she didn't ever live in her own house. She'd meet these guys and just move in with them because they were going to pay her child support, you know? And I couldn't, so I was like, I can't. And she was like, well, you love your daddy more than you love me? And I'm like, and I got in this whole, I was in the middle thing, and I didn't like that, so she went back to jail, and my dad was still sober, and we're just doing real good, and me and my stepmom aren't getting along, and my brother and my stepmom are getting closer. They're just closer. I guess guys and stepmoms just get along better, and my brother would tell me, you know, I don't like seeing Dad like that. And I'm like, you know, I don't either, because his attitude was terrible because he didn't go to AA. And I wanted him to drink because I hated his attitude. I wanted him to go out and get drunk and come home cocky and funny rather than being how he was. And my dad, he's staying sober, and I'm going to my Alateen, you know, I'm just like, you know, going every single Alateen thing I can do, because I don't want to, I'm trying to, you know, not worry about my dad, because I have a real problem with that. And my brother started making some wrong choices, and my dad had to deal with that, and I thought my dad was going to literally beat my brother to death. And my dad handled it really well, and I couldn't believe it. So I'm thinking, you know, maybe he is going to stay sober. Maybe he really is going to stay sober. And I don't know. And then my dad asked me, why did you even start going Alateen? And I thought about it, and I said, because I couldn't cope with the problem of you drinking. And when he went out and got drunk those first two times when he relapsed, we never talked about it really. He just said, I'm going to straighten up, and that would be the end of it. And he owns his own business, and he's having some rough times. You know, after September 11th, he's not doing too good, and he's getting real stressed, so he's drinking, and he's going out and getting drunk. And it's not real often, it's just every now and then. And he's coming home, and he's going straight to his room, and he's not even starting any crap or anything. So I'm like, okay, maybe he's just going through this, and let him, he's just going to go through this for a while. And what made me so mad, what I look at, because he would go out and get drunk, was every time I would screw up with something, he would criticize me so bad, and he would tell me, I can't believe you did that. And I've lied to my dad before, and he'd say, what liar, you know? And he would be going and getting drunk. And I just wanted to tell him, you know, why do you criticize me so much when you're going out and doing this? And my grandpa starts, my grandpa's 91, and my dad loves his dad to death. And he's not doing too good, and we're in the hospital every other week, and my dad's not getting a lot of sleep, and he's worried about his dad, and the doctors are telling us only 6 more months to live, maybe less, and they told us like a year before that, only 6 months, so I'm just like, you know, he's going to make it, Dad. And my dad starts going out and getting drunk, and I'm telling him, I finally decide that I want to sit down and talk to him. Well, I kind of sat down and talked to him while I was drunk, and it didn't work out exactly how I wanted it, you know. I said, I'm going to talk to him today, and he comes home, and he says, okay, let's talk, because I told him on the phone that day. I said, I want to talk to you. Well, he comes home drunk and said, are you ready to talk now? And I'm just like, okay, well, maybe I can sink it in somehow. So he's drunk, and he's in a good mood. He's not, like, real mean this time. And I'm talking to him, and I'm saying, you know, Dad, do you really want to sober up? You know, why do you want to do this to yourself? And he says, I wish my dad would just hurry up and die. And he says, I want to sober up, but I just can't right now. And he said, this is something I got to do, and I'm going to. And I said, okay. And I let it go right there. And he was getting drunk, and he wasn't. My grandpa was going real downhill. And I'm having a hard time dealing with that because I don't like to accept death very well. And I'm saying, you know, he's going to be okay. And my stepmom's saying, no, he's not. He's dying. And why aren't you going to go see him? I'm like, because he's going to be here a lot longer than y'all think he is. And my dad's not going to see him or anything. And my grandpa calls saying, I'm dying. I want, you know, him out there. And my dad, you know, he can't. My dad says, I can't go out there. And he's coming home drunk and saying, you know, I wish he would hurry up and die. And my brother is like looking at my dad, and he, you know, like, why do I want to be like him? And before, my brother and my dad were like so close, and he's just, you know, my brother's fading away from my dad, and I don't ever want to see my brother not like my dad, because my brother, he's kind of, my mom's in jail right now, you know, to this day. She's actually in prison, but he doesn't care what happens to her anymore, really. He doesn't bother him like it bothers me. And my dad would, you know, tell my brother, son, if you want to grow up and be a dope dealer, you want to grow up and be a druggie, you know, or if you want to grow up and be an alcoholic, you can. And, you know, my brother's just like looking at my dad like he's nothing to him, you know. And my grandpa is not doing too good, and my dad finally decides to go see him, and he's going and seeing him, and we got this whole thing that my dad thinks I need a job because I need to learn responsibility. And so I start working, and I'm paying my own car insurance and all this other stuff, and my stepmom thinks I got it too easy. And me and my stepmom we're still not getting along. And my dad, you know, and I'm thinking, you know, I told her, I said, why do you gripe at me so much? Because my stepmom favors my brother, I think. You know, I still to this day, I can't get over that, because I would ask her for something that I needed, and she would tell, well, why are you telling me at the last minute? And my brother would ask her, and he'd be like, okay, let's go. And we're not getting along, and my dad, you know, he's getting real mad at my stepmom, and I sit down and talk to him, and I'm like, well, why does she treat me so different? And my dad says, because she don't want you to grow up and be something that you shouldn't be. And I'm telling my dad, you know, if she keeps on, you know, that's not helping me out any. You know, it's not giving me any confidence while she's over here downing me and saying I'm going to, you know, they would tell me that I'm going to end up pregnant before I'm in college. And, you know, that's not helping me out. And, I mean, I would never tell him that it hurt, but it did. And to this day, I look at both of my parents, and I don't want to be like neither one of them. I don't even want to be like them. I mean, I still love them, but I don't want to do what they've had to do. And my dad told me that he can't do this. So my dad goes out and gets drunk some more, and I'm going to Alateen, and you know, I'm just telling my sponsors, what can I do? And they're like, just worry about yourself, and you know. And people are asking me to speak, and I remember the first time I spoke, I was like in front of a big like this, and I was real nervous. And then they're asking me to speak a lot more at meetings and stuff, and I'm like, okay, well, I get a call from you guys, and this is like right after September 11th, and they were like, hey, you want to come speak? And I'm like, how am I supposed to get there? And they're like, a plane. I'm like, let me give me 2 weeks or something, you know. And I accept, you know, and my dad, I told my dad about it, and he was glad for me. He said, I'm glad you chose to go. And my stepmom and me were not getting along, and it seems like every time we would fight, she says, you better be quiet, or I'm going to knock your teeth out, or I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this. But it seems like when my dad would say that in front of him, and he still doesn't know everything, you know, he still doesn't know, and so I'm like, you know, my sponsors are all happy for me, and you know, I'm really trying to get in my, like, stay in my program, because every time my dad falls, it seemed like I would fall a little with him. And I've been trying to, you know, overcome that, where whenever he falls, I don't either. And that was, like, my New Year's resolution, that I wasn't going to let him take me down with him. And we went to the Alateen Conference this year, and I think this is the one that I got the most out of, you know. I seen people that, you know, I seen newcomers, and it was like, wow, you know, I used to be just like them, and I still am, but I mean, my attitude from then and now has changed so much. And, you know, that was a big thing. When I go to the Alateen Conference, I always want to make the newcomers feel welcome, because I remember when I was there, I was scared to death, and I was, you know, real nervous, so that's what I was trying to, you know, make them all feel welcomed. And my dad was worrying about my grandpa a lot, and I started having to realize that my grandpa was getting ready to die. And me and my grandpa are pretty close, and, you know, I'd always go down there, and I'd walk in the house, and he'd be in his bed in the front room laying there. But the fact of knowing he was still with us was enough. And we kept going down there. And for a little while, I stopped going because I didn't like to look at him like that. And I stopped going, and I knew he was going to die. And I didn't want to, you know, accept that or anything, because I don't like to, you know, look at things like that and be like, well, he's going to go. And my dad's, you know, Brittany, why don't you come down with us to see your grandpa? And I'm like, I can't. And I'm beginning to sound like my dad, and I'm like, why can't I go down there? And you know, we're down there every other day, it seems like, and my grandpa, he's talking to me, you know, and telling me if my dad don't get me a car, then he's going to. And I didn't go down there for a week, and by the time I got back down there, he couldn't talk anymore. And it was hard for me to look at him like that, because, you know, I mean, I love my grandpa to death. And so my dad, he's not drinking, but he's still not in AA, and he's doing all right, because he's worried about my grandpa. He can't worry about anything else. And I'm trying real hard to get along with my stepmom, because it's real hard. And thanks, Jen. And I'm trying real hard, and I'm still working, and, you know, I'm having to tell my boss I gotta miss work, because I gotta go down here, and, you know, and my dad's, you know, he's telling me, you need to go to your Alateen, because I'm kind of getting in the slouch. I'm like, oh, I don't know if I'm gonna go. And my dad's like, yeah, you need to go. And by the time that I went to an Alateen meeting, and I really realized that I need to be down there, because I might not get to, I mean, if I don't go down there, I'm not going to get to tell him goodbye. So I'm starting to go with my dad to my grandpa's, and, you know, my friends are like, hey, Brittany, you want to go do this with us? And I'm actually being able to tell them that I can't, because I got to go down there to see him. And so I'm going down there, and I'm seeing my grandpa fade fast, and hospice was called, and they were telling us, you know, it's okay, we're not going to let him go in pain. And I'm sitting there, and I had the worst attitude about it, because I had a hard time dealing that they were actually helping him. I thought, you know, they were just putting drugs in him so he would, you know, go faster. And, you know, so I had a hard time
dealing with it, and I was going to my meetings, you know. And the last week that he was with us, I was down there every single time we went. And the day before I died, I told him goodbye. And I look at my dad, and I was, you know, and I know that my dad loves my grandpa, and, you know, seeing my dad down like that was really hard. And so I told him goodbye, and my dad said, "I'll see you tomorrow, Dad." And I'm at work, and my dad calls me and tells me, you know, I'm going to go to Grandpa's today because they said he's probably going to die, and they're telling us the exact time and stuff. And I'm like, what kind of people are these people, you know? And so I was like, in my last hour of work, and I get home, and the phone rings, and it was my grandpa's youngest son that lives with him still, and tells me that he's already gone, and my dad's on the way down there, you know, go see him. And I was so worried that my dad was going to go get drunk because his dad died. And so I had I was going to call my dad and tell him, and I had my brother do it because I couldn't do it. And but I was on the phone and everything, but I just couldn't tell him. And well, you know, I mean, I had to take off work some more, and that was like, I was worried about losing my job, and I was worried about my dad drinking. And, you know, I mean, I know I can't do anything about it, but it's hard for me not to worry, you know. And so I'm going to my meetings, and, you know, I go to my grandpa's funeral, and I'm able to go and tell him, you know, goodbye. And so me and my dad were like, I love my dad to death. I'm so close to him. And me and my stepmom, we're still not getting along. I mean, I don't think we're ever going to be able to get along perfect, you know. And so I'm still going to my Alateen meetings, and, you know, my dad's still he hasn't got drunk yet. And what I learned from, you know, Alateen is that I can't worry about anybody but myself, you know. I want my dad to stay sober, and I want my brother to get an Alateen, but I can't worry about that because, you know, it's not my job to worry about it. I'm supposed to worry about myself, and that's it. And so today, I look at my attitude now, and I look at it before I was out in Alateen, and it's improved so much. And I know I still got a long ways to go because sometimes my stepmom can be joking with me, and I take it seriously. And it's the same thing with her. So I know I still have a long ways to go, but I can handle that, and I can, you know, I can accept it. You know, I know I need to be here, and I can handle and accept that my dad isn't in the program, and I don't know if he ever will be again. But today, I mean, I know I can. I just need to worry about myself and not everybody else around me. And my mom, you know, I can accept that she does what she wants to do. And, you know, I don't know if she's ever going to straighten up. I mean, she's 45, and I don't, you know, she still acts like a teenager like me. And I don't ever know if she's going to straighten up. But I can accept it. And you know, my brother making bad decisions and stuff, I mean, I don't want to see my brother have to go through what my dad and my mom have been through. And, you know, so I've been trying to get closer with my brother and, you know, have him hang out with me more. And, you know, so that, you know, I just want him to know that I love him a lot. And, I just turned 16 last Sunday, and that was like that was the second year that, you know, my dad hadn't been drunk on my birthday. And, you know, just to be able to, you know that he wasn't drunk was good enough for me. And so now he's all worried about me and stuff, and he's like really getting protective over me, and I'm glad, really, you know, because, I mean, I look at my mom and she's just like, "Hey, when are we gonna go do something, you know? Let's go do this and this and this." And I'm like, you know, I'm like, you're my mom, and she still doesn't think that she has to grow up and be a mom. And I mean, my dad not being AA, it kind of hurts me because I worry about him a little more than I used to. But the only thing it just scares me because I don't ever want to see us have to deal with all that stuff again because it was really hard. And but I want to thank you guys for asking me to speak, and you know, I just really appreciate it. So thanks.